This Christmas, let's share the greatest gift ever given, Jesus Christ. Compassion International invites your church to join the Giving Tree Project, helping children in poverty overcome barriers and discover hope in Christ. With a Giving Tree kit, your congregation can provide life-changing resources like food, clean water, and sustainable income to families in need. Visit compassion.com/familygoals today to order your free church kit and make this Christmas a season of hope and transformation. That's compassion.com/familygoals. Be the difference this Christmas.
Are we recording?
Yes, we're recording.
Oh, so let's promote your children's book. What's the name of the children's book?
We're not promoting
book?
My children's book.
I want to promote it. What's it called?
The first rule in promoting is you don't say it's a promotion. You've already ruined it. You can't say it's a promotion. You just talk about it naturally, and then it's like, oh, I got a children's book. See, you've already ruined the promo for the children's book. It's called The Won't Quit
I'm
Kid.
I'm trying to help you out, bro.
The Won't Quit Kid.
The Won't Quit Kid. Yeah. Is it about you?
If you go to Brave.
Are you the Won't Quit Kid?
Bravebooks.com. Yes, it is. It's kind of, it's cool because it's a story, like most kids nowadays, you just see that when it gets hard, they kind of quit. Mm-hmm. And parents, I think, allow them to quit sometimes. And so like, this kid loves football and wants to play. His older brother played. That's why he loves the game. Like, he wants to get in so bad. The next year he goes out and then the first day it's like, this is really hard. Like, it's hot. This hurts. The three H's. Mm-hmm. And he wants to quit. And then his brother talks him into his brother, Eddie Shaddix. Remember my coach Shaddix that I mm-hmm. told you about that like kept me in football? The main character is Nick.
Okay.
Nicholas.
Yeah.
The coach is Coach Norm. My dad, Coach Norm, was my coach growing up. So that was cool. Shiloh Field.
That's awesome.
So it was a lot of, tied in a ton of stuff like mm-hmm. from my life, which is really, really cool. But yeah, it's, if you like to read to your kids and if you want them to get a good message and just kind of understand like things are going to be hard and how to fight and have a good attitude and stuff like that, it's a good book.
So where do you go to buy it?
Bravebooks.com. Right, Wes? Go on there and there's a page on there. And I think I'm the main thing right there, like the main book at the time for now for Brave Books.
So. The Won't Quit Kid.
Yeah, baby.
Amen. So how's North Oconee football going?
I mean, just tearing people up.
Yeah.
Just what we do.
Dominating. I was going to go to the Walnut Grove game, and I'm glad I
told
didn't.
You not to.
Yeah, that was a beat down.
Yeah, it's not good. It's very ungood. We play some teams that are very ungood, but the playoffs now here, obviously.
Now I heard Eastside was a good game.
Eastside was ridiculous. It was back and forth, 21 points in the last 5 minutes, three lead changes. I mean, it was just crazy. It was nuts.
I heard y'all were really good. And this is coming from like an objective opinion, like someone who's like a former high school football coach just comes to the game. He just goes to any game on a Friday night he wants to, and he came to the Eastside game.
That was the game to come to.
He said it was really good.
That was the game to come to. But leadership.
So y'all have good
won.
Offense, good defense. What's the strength of the team?
This is the best offense we've ever had since I've been there.
Okay.
Like, we definitely
are you slinging it? You're
we
running
sling
it?
The pill, bro. Okay. We sling it, and we got some kids that can fly.
Okay.
I mean, got a quarterback that can sling it. Harrison Faulkner, who's Buster Faulkner's son, mm-hmm. OC for Georgia Tech. I mean, that. He's good. So we got a chance. Got some good leadership, like what we're going to talk about in part two today.
Yeah, so we're diving into part two, and we had a question from Caleb Miller off of X, formerly Twitter, on what makes
a great leader. You know,
you
don't have
leader.
To say formerly Twitter every time you say X.
That's just what I think. Like in my mind, like I'm not really on it. Like I used to be on Twitter, but once it went to X, I'm not on it anymore. So, but
it's much better now.
Does people call it X?
Yeah, like you did. You called it X, formerly Twitter. Like you don't call yourself, hey, everybody, welcome into Family Goals. This is Jonathan Howes, formerly Pastor Jay, or Pastor Jay, formerly Jonathan Howes. You don't do that every time. Just say X.
All right. Thanks for the coaching there, coach. All right.
Coach me, coach. It's at Family Goals Pod is what it is, too, just for more details that you missed.
At Family Goals Pod, if you want to.
If you want to send in a topic, contribute.
Send in a topic. And you can do that on Instagram as well.
Yeah, Exchangeagram. Yeah. On the line. All right. Rock and roll. What you got?
All right. This came from Caleb Miller. What makes a great leader? Of course, I'm the one that's prepared the list, and you're just interjecting your thoughts and your points. You just show up to these things. I'm the one that puts in all the work.
100%. That's 1,000,000% true.
All right. So number five is good people skills. I think a great leader is
someone.
How
different is that from communication? Because you had communication at four, right?
Yeah. I'm thinking communication more verbally. where communication skills more about relationships.
Okay.
Like someone who walks slowly through the crowd, someone who no impact without contact. Like I think about you coaching, you're not up in some tower. You're down there with the kids. You're building the relationships. They probably could text you if they wanted to. Like they have you have a relationship with them. It's not just like a professional, like you're their coach, they're your player, but you actually like, you know the kids.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you have them over for dinner or anything like that.
I think you got to get in their lives. You got to, like, anybody.
That's my point.
Yeah. Anybody you're leading, like, you need to get in their life. And I think the biggest, like, anybody you're leading with your family, with a company, with a corporation, like, knowing their why and getting in their lives and knowing what makes them tick. And I think I don't think you lead effectively without knowing what makes somebody tick. Right? Like, I mean, I need to know how they respond to certain things. I need to know why they show up every day and what's really, really important to them. And those are the things I got to make sure that I speak into. I need to know their weaknesses, right? I need to know what they don't like. Like some people don't like being called certain things and don't like being put on the spot, right? So I need to make sure I don't do that. And so I think that's...
Yeah, like if someone has bad people skills, like I don't want necessarily be around that person because it's like it's awkward. It's uncomfortable. It's like...
Everybody knows the socially awkward people. Like it's different.
The thing, one of the skills of being a leader is having good people skills. And we talked on the previous podcast about asking questions. But you want to like a good leader doesn't always just talk about them the whole time. They're like asking about you. They're talking about you. How can I help you? You know, they make it about the other person, not about themselves. I think that's good people skills. There's a Bible verse that I like to apply to my ministry, which is 1 Thessalonians 2:8. And it says, we loved you so much that we're delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. And so it's the whole idea of life on life ministry, life on life discipleship. I'm not just teaching you the word of God on Sunday mornings and then you never see me again. Like I want to get in your life. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage your kids. I want to like do life together.
That's the way the church should do it.
Yeah.
Some churches don't do that. It's like a Sunday service, see you next Sunday. You know what I'm saying? I mean, which you don't understand people and what makes them tick. Mm-hmm. That's why we have so many small groups and different programs and to keep you busy, to keep you plugged in, to keep getting to know you and know your story.
I think if you have the relationship when someone does go through a difficult time, and we talked about this a year ago, just show up. Mm-hmm. Like you don't know what to say, but if you have that relationship, you can just show up and minister and care for that person when they're going through a difficult time.
Yeah, but if you don't have it, then it's weird.
It's kind of hard just to show up.
It's weird. It's awkward. Hey, I'm here. Like, this is, wait a minute, this is, or if you're one of those people that show up every time, it's good. Because I have a lot of people like that. Like, you know, we're doing something fun. We're doing this all in, watching a Georgia game, you know, doing fun. Okay, well, hey, we're going to serve up and serve somebody. Well, what's weird? I didn't get a text back. the person's usually all in for showing up and having a good time. And so I definitely not just the good moments or the things that are convenient, mm-hmm. like showing up when things aren't convenient, being a good friend when things, you know, showing up to your kids, to their kids' games. Like, we've tried to do a much better job as we've gotten older with that. Like, that's just a way of supporting them. I mean, we support them, so we support their kids. And we support their kids because they're important to them. And we want to build a relationship with their kids, too. So we have the right and the authority to speak into their lives. And they see us showing up and supporting them.
I've tried to teach our – this is something I continue to teach our staff team. But any pastor, any minister, like a student pastor or children's pastor – the easiest ministry in the world is showing up to a kid's ball game. Like, that just goes and I tell our student pastors all the time, like I look back at my growing up when I was a high school kid and became a Christian. I don't remember one sermon from a Sunday morning service. I don't remember one lesson from like Sunday school.
Your preacher must have sucked.
What I remember. Now, my preacher, you met Dean. You know Dean.
Dean, you're terrible.
I remember was the student pastor. I remember him coming to my tennis matches. I remember us playing racquetball together. And I had this memory of him taking me to this lake one time where we did a rope swing.
Oh, like nice.
Out into it. Those are the things the kids remembered. they don't remember like the what the sermon was about. It's all about the relationships. But if you want to minister to somebody, like if I want to minister to you, I go to Nicholas's game, go to Leah's game.
Well, and I've told my fellow friends in the small group, I'm like, listen, y'all have to plug into my kids' lives if you want a relationship with them. And here's the thing, it is not hard to, kids only want your attention. Like 4-year-olds, 3-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, 8-year-olds, like if you just mess with them and pull their hair or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not like jerk them, but I'm saying pull their hair, like say, make a smart aleck comment to them, like chase them, run around with them. That's all you need. Like you're in their lives already. Like that's all they wanted was you to like actually plug into what they're doing, what they got going on, ask them questions. Like those, it's such an easy thing to do. But then my kids, now you have the authority to speak to my kids and to lead my kids, which is awesome because I want you to have that. And I want to be able to have that, but it blows me away. My daughter's 14 years old. And the people in her life that are adults, like my friends, the ones she loves the most are the ones that just talk to her. That's it. Like they ask questions.
Probably asking about her.
They ask about her. They ask about, you know, basketball a lot because she just loves basketball to death. They make fun of her. They tease her. They joke with her. Like those are the things that's all she needs. And I could name them, but I'm not going to because I don't want to be disrespectful. But I got a couple of friends that like, she wants to go to their house. Like whenever we're going over to their house, like, oh, are we coming? Like, because those adults have loved on her and poured into her life. And now they have a special spot in her heart. Like that's freaking awesome. That's an unbelievable thing that you have done by just showing them attention and making it a priority instead of just being in a room and being on your phone or not wanting to, you know, do things that is out of your comfort zone.
And to me, that's leadership. That's good people skills. Like going the extra mile. Like if someone's showing up to your house for small group, you could ignore your kids or you could talk to your kids. Like go the extra mile and spend some time asking the kids how they're doing, what's going on in their world, what's going on in their lives. All right, the sixth thing on my list is encouraging others. I think as a leader, and I'm a big fan of this, positive environment. I'm a big fan of speaking positivity in other people's lives, like lifting, not blowing smoke up somebody, but like lifting them up, encouraging them, strengthening, believing in them. Like I feel like sometimes I believe in others more than they believe in themselves. Yeah. Like I have more belief in them than they have in themselves. But if I keep giving them encouragement, words of affirmation, words of encouragement, building them up, they might start believing it too.
Yeah. And I think that's interesting to me too, is I had a couple buddies in college that did that well. And I thought they were fake. Like it drove me nuts that they were chameleons. And like whatever room they were in, they were like, they would kind of change a little bit, but I don't think they necessarily changed. I just think they were respectful and nice and kind and built everybody up. And I didn't see that. I thought it was kind of like fake, but you can look for the good in people and you'll find it. Mm-hmm. Like if you want to find a reason to praise one of your friends or the people you know, if you look, you can find it. I'd argue the opposite too. If you look for the negative, you'll find
it. Sure.
So like just like with our kids, we want to catch them doing good things so we can congratulate them and talk to them in a great way, not always catch them doing something bad. But I think that's good. I think there's a difference between blowing smoke, predetermined comment about, you know, that I'm going to tell you you're this, that, and the other, or lying to you and telling you this when you're not. But like, you know, finding that I see this in you.
Yeah, I'm definitely not saying like telling your kid they're good enough to sing and be on American Idol when they can't carry a tune. You know, nothing like that. But like always looking for, okay, what do they do well? How can I encourage them? Like always looking for that. And not necessarily predetermined, but if you did see something the other day, I think coming into the conversation.
And bring it up.
Bring it up. Like, that's something good I can bring up. Yeah. So, I don't thrive in environments where like the coach would be like cussing me out and like, you know, trying to motivate me that way. To me, it's more of a laid back encouragement type. That's where I didn't thrive in the whole like
That's surprising with your personality.
You really?
No. I mean, you're just like kind of like just like your golf swing. It's just like, yeah, just taking my time. Hey, it's good. I mean, just you're kind of laid back.
Very, and
that makes,
yeah.
That makes sense why that would be like that. Like
very smooth.
I've
golf
never
swing.
Really like wanted like I'm not the I'd prefer some fire and brimstone, and I want to see a coach that really cares, man. Like I want you to like fly around and have energy, and I want you to love it as much as I love it. And so I definitely think everybody has their different personalities, but everybody can encourage. Mm-hmm. Everybody can find good things, positive things. There's always something positive to say. There's always there's always a positive angle of everything. You just got to find it.
The Bible talks about how powerful the tongue is.
Yeah. Like James.
James 3, it's like a rudder. It could move the whole ship around. Mm-hmm. It could be a spark to set a fire. Like you can speak life into people, or you can speak death into people.
Yeah.
You can speak words of encouragement, or you can speak negativity. I just think a good leader is someone who speaks encouraging words.
Useful for building.
Building others up.
Correct.
Yeah.
Not tearing down.
Yeah, what's that? Ephesians 4:29.
Yep.
So another thing I put is a good leader empowers others. Instead of just doing it yourself, like a lot of times people say, well, I'm going to do this myself because I can do it better than anybody else.
What'd you say, Lindsay? Sorry. Sorry, hey. Honey. I just blacked out for a second. My bad.
We might need to edit that out.
No, absolutely not. Leave it.
No, but I think giving other people an opportunity, give them a chance to prove themselves, give them a chance to shine. Like one of the things I try to do, like let the younger guys preach. Mm-hmm. Instead of me preaching every Sunday, I try to give other people opportunity. Like instead of me leading every small group, like I've got an apprentice or a mentor. Like, hey, I want you to pray at the end of small group. Yeah. Or I want you to, hey, I'm not going to be here next week. And sometimes I purposely not going to be there. So they have to lead. Like, hey, I'm not going to be here. Can you lead the group? Mm-hmm. You know, so I think empowering other people to lead instead of the leader who would rather do it themselves because they can do it better than somebody else.
Well, and that's the creating disciples, right? Like mm-hmm. That's the
whole multiplication.
Yeah, that's the and you can't, like you can't continue to grow your business without it. Like you can't, like you, and again, there's two things that happen when you do that. One is you're sharing the leadership, you're sharing the mission. And so they want to be more involved. Mm-hmm. Like they're going to be more inspired, more motivated because they're involved. Like with our foundation, like we got so many people that it's not our foundation anymore. Like we are doing the banquet of blessings. Mm-hmm. We are doing the golf tournament. Like it's we, like this is ours. Like this is how we do this. Mm-hmm. This is what we do. And it's our mission, not my mission. Right? Like, but another thing, the second thing is like, you don't truly learn to lead. And I don't think you truly master a subject until you have to run it yourself and you have to control it. And you have to think about how you want to present it and think about the angles and think about who you're leading and who you're talking to. Cause then you master a subject, mm-hmm. then you get a hold of something. You want to get more indoctrinated into the word and become more successful at digesting scripture. Go teach a small group. Like where you have to read it and explain it. When I have to read it and say, what's the biggest takeaways here? Bam, these are my takeaways. Because otherwise you just read it to read it. Mm-hmm. But when I have to read it to teach it, it empowers the crap out of me.
Yeah.
So I think that's the...
And you have to know the material so well to anticipate questions that people might ask you.
And then you have to think about the questions.
Like small groups are a great thing. So it's so easy just to show up for small group. Like no preparation. Like I'm just showing up.
That's what you do?
No, I've never done that.
I'm about to say.
I'm saying that's easy.
You come with a sheet every day over here.
But what I like to do is give it to some. And that's what I tell all the guys in my discipleship group. We do a 2-year program. Hey, I'm going to walk you through the discipleship books for 2 years. But after this, I'm moving on to a new group of guys, and it's going to be your job to lead. And so it's been fun seeing these guys
kicking people out,
lead small group. Yeah, you got to kick them out of the nest.
Kick them out.
You got to, because that's how they're going to grow.
You got to fire them from the quiver.
If they're just showing up, yeah, you got to fire them from the quiver. Yeah. If they're just showing up
to be fed, then they'll always show up to be fed.
Yeah.
You got to teach them to fish.
You got to teach them to fish.
You got to teach them to fish, not just give them fish.
But I think like one of the things I see, I always notice this kind of stuff, but you go back to Coach K, Duke basketball.
Are you a Duke fan?
I do not know. I'm a North Carolina fan.
Okay.
So I saw Michael Jordan hit the game winner 1982 in the New Orleans Superdome, baby. I was like eighth grade.
That's what I'm talking about. Who passed him the ball?
I don't know. James Worthy. Worthy, Perkins, Patrick Ewing goaltended the first four shots of the game on purpose to try to intimidate Carolina. I mean, you had some major players in that.
By the way, they said Dean Smith drew the play up. You know, Michael Jordan was a freshman. He hit that shot.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And James Worthy talks about it now, and he said he drew that play up for James Worthy, but he said that he absolutely can tell now that he's gotten older, like it was really drawn up for Michael. Like, it said, if this isn't open, then we're going to skip it to Michael. And he said, with the defense they were playing, it was 100% going to be a skip. But
that's good.
I think that's pretty cool. Like, the coach is like, I know MJ's a freshman. James Worthy's our top 10 pick in the NBA draft. But, like, it needs to go there.
Yeah, so I was there, New Orleans Superdome, 1982. But
you know what happened in 1982 for me?
Were you born that
day?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was born that
year. Yeah, I was like eighth or ninth grade.
You're not young.
I am not young. But the point I was making with Duke and Coach K.
Yeah, make your point.
Is, I don't know if you ever noticed this, but most of the time when you're going into halftime, the on-court reporter will interview the head coach.
Yeah.
But so many times Coach K would let the assistant coach be the one interviewed. I don't know if you ever picked up on that.
Oh, no, I picked up on it. But do you think that was because he wanted them to get used to it?
Yeah, like he's developing the next leader.
Didn't want to talk to the media.
I think he's developing the next leader.
I think he just didn't want to talk to the media.
I don't know. I think it's a good strategy.
He's still developing him, but like I think that he
well,
was.
Well, maybe, but
because the media sucks and is annoying.
But
that's
I hate the media. Like football coaches, like maybe your basketball team, maybe your coach could develop you, let you run practice one day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like let you give the pregame speech. Like,
well, and that's
let other people do some of the stuff.
And otherwise you stay in a box of comfort.
Yeah.
And you never stretch and you don't grow as much as you could. Mm-hmm. But when you do, and I think it's powerful, like a team, to hear multiple voices. Just like with the family, mm-hmm. you wanted to hear as many voices as you can saying the same thing, right? Like, in the same voice, it comes nails on a chalkboard. You're like, here we go again.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, here goes dad. Here goes mom. Like, you definitely need, the more you can spread it out and be different voices that are saying the same thing, I think the more impact it'll have.
This made me think about Hoosiers, where the coach in Hoosiers got kicked out of the basketball game on purpose, so Scooter could lead the team. He was forced to do it.
He did good too, but then he went back to drinking, didn't he?
Yeah, but I think he got detoxed.
I'm just glad last time you brought in the good to great book and you had no purpose whatsoever. I'm just glad that when you did Hoosiers that it had a purpose. I'm glad you remembered where we were going.
I'm kind of like you, just random thoughts pop up into my head all the time. All right, we're talking about being a great leader. I think a good leader sacrifices for others. And this is similar to servant leadership.
I was about to say, it's very similar. How's it different then?
And John 12:24 says, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. I think dying to yourself, you're able to multiply. Philippians 3:3-4 says to put others' needs above your own, not to be selfish, but consider other people more important than yourself. So I think a good leader sacrifices for the good of the whole. They're willing to do what's best for the team and not just what's best for themselves.
So kind of like servant leadership?
Very similar to servant leadership. But making sacrifice. How do you think a leader makes sacrifices? What are some things that a leader would do to make some sacrifices?
I think great leaders, when they make those, they'll make sacrifices and they don't want the credit, I think, a lot of times. Like great leaders who I think will point to the others around them that are helping them become a great team. Like that, I think that's really important that and I think that's just same thing with your family. Like there's so many things that you can take credit for as a mom, you can take credit for as a dad, but like me and your dad think this, or me and your mom think this, we think this, like, you know, not me, I did this, you know, we did this. And I think when you can get, we did this, you feel, I think you make people feel important, and it's, you bring people along with you for the ride, and it's just more fun. And so I think, I understand what you're saying. I think it's similar to servant leadership, but.
Yeah. And I was thinking like, I know some football coaches, they might arrive into the office at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Like they're sacrificing some sleep to watch film or to put a game plan together.
A lot of them do, man. A lot of them do.
They're making some huge sacrifices for what's best.
And you got, like, if you're going to be a great coach, a great leader, like, you're going to have to sacrifice. Like, leadership has a cost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, leadership is not free. Leadership comes with, like, when you're a great leader, it's going to come at a great cost. And I've seen that throughout my life. Like, and it's got to be like versus respected. Like, I'm not trying to be liked by everybody, because to be a great leader, it costs friendships. Mm-hmm. It costs relationships, but it doesn't cost respect. Like, you can still respect me because I'm making the best decision for the company, for the family, for your family at home. I'm making the right decision, but that might come with my kid being mad at me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Great leadership comes with great cost, but you've got to be okay with that. And to be a great leader,
you have to make hard decisions.
You have to make hard decisions. You have to make decisions that make people mad. You have to make decisions that have consequences to other people that they don't want, but you have to be okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good example of sacrifice, but I like the call. I like the word cost. It comes with it's like the cost of leadership.
Yeah.
All right, number nine, I put a good leader's humble and gives others the praise, gives the team the praise, and doesn't take the accolades for themselves.
The we, not me.
Yeah.
We did this. And I think how you phrase things like that is important, but yeah. I mean,
like if you win the national championship as a coach, it's like you want the spotlight to go on the players. The other coaches,
the players,
our team, it's not like all about me.
Go ahead.
I was going to go to the next one, but
go ahead.
So the last one I put down.
The list is getting dry towards the end.
This is super boring.
Okay.
Organization and delegation.
Oof.
Like a good leader is organized.
It's boring, but it's necessary.
I mean, it's boring. But you think some organization, some delegation.
You can't be a great leader without great organization.
Yeah.
You can't. Like you, and again, that doesn't mean you're the organization. Like, but you better have someone, Lindsay Pollock, like that keeps you in line, that keeps your schedule. Like, it doesn't work, man. Like,
that's a great point. Like you may not be an organized person, but get someone on your team who is organized.
That you have to know. Like, I would argue, is that 10 on the list? That's the last one? Okay.
Yeah.
Like, a great leader knows their strengths and weaknesses. And a great leader knows where they have to bring people around them and surround them to overcompensate for their weakness. Like if I'm really, really strong in this area and I'm weak in this area, like I better bring in coaches and people around me that can make sure that they keep this area going and thriving because, you know, I can't just neglect this area. So if you're not great at organization and structure, you better find someone that is. Mm-hmm. And I think what I've learned too in coaching, which is cool, is like the more you can give ownership to everybody else and they have their own little things, like it's no different with our foundation and serving. Like many hands make light work.
Mm-hmm.
Many hands make light work over and over again. Dude, it's so impressive. I cry every year at our golf tournament. Like because we got so many people that come in and just, man, they knock crap out and we don't deserve them. We don't deserve to have people like that support us with the banquet of blessings. We don't deserve that, man. Like, but you come and support us. And it's just awesome to see that it is a we thing, but we've got to 100% operate in our strengths, negotiate our weaknesses. But that takes organization and people around you that are in those veins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is an interesting question.
Oh, you brought questions too?
Well, I went with the opposite. So he said, what makes a great leader?
Okay.
So then that led me to the thought of what makes a bad leader? I think that's important because what makes a terrible leader? Like you don't want to be a terrible leader.
So you did a top 10 list of 10 terrible leaders too?
I got to 8.
Jeez.
But I didn't do any. I just like off the top of my head. And there, a lot of them are the same. But
I mean, you're going to go the opposite. You're going to go selfish.
Yeah.
Right.
I put bad character, selfish, lazy, pride, not showing up, like lack of commitment, negativity, blaming others, and not taking personal responsibility. That's just
same thing as blaming others, not taking personal responsibility.
Yeah.
I mean,
what do you think makes a bad leader?
I've seen a lot of them. I've seen a lot of bad leaders. I think you're a bad leader if you lead from a place, if you're a leader, but you refuse to, it's not important to you, it's never going to be important to me. Like, if you don't have motivation and drive and a vision, like, passion. you're not going to cultivate that. Mm-hmm. Like, a bad leader doesn't show up with a plan. Like, there's plenty of that. Like, you better have a plan. You better have a reason for the reason why we're going to do X, the reason why we're going to do Y, the reason why we're going to do Z. Like, the whole thing. Like, a bad leader doesn't or plays favorites. You know, they don't. It's not we. It's oh, he's good. Like, you do this, you do that. Not all of us coming together as a team. Mm. And your role is important. Like, they don't communicate well of what whose roles are what and mm-hmm. how you're going to succeed and how you're going to fail. So. All those words.
I guess we could take the opposite of the good leader, and that's what happened.
Basically.
So I was thinking a good way to wrap this up is, who are some coaches who are great leaders, and what were their best qualities? And, of course, I was thinking about Coach Rick.
Yeah.
Like, what were some of his strengths?
Humility, perspective, you know, and again, as you get removed, when you're in the moment, you don't see it as much. But like him showing, like being able to show me an example of what a dude looks like and how to treat people, like that was a big deal. Like, that dude is humble and kind.
When he was no longer the head football coach. When he was the coach.
When he was the coach, he still, like, the way people flocked to him for autographs and stuff like that, and he just handled everybody with great. I'm like, how do you do that? I'm like, this overwhelms me. Like, I'm like, mm-hmm. this is annoying. And he's like, you get one chance to make an impression. Like, just make an impression. He said it takes
one that taught you that.
Yeah, he's like, it takes 5 seconds. It takes 10 seconds. Like, just give him your best for a second, and then you're done. Like, mm-hmm. go to the next. So just stuff like that, I think. But humility and, you know, I think perspective, those were things that made him good.
Faith?
Oh, I don't think he has that without the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the faith had him humble and had him perspective. His faith is 100% mm-hmm. what he was led by his faith, and he led us with his faith, and mm-hmm. he shared his faith and his mission and his purpose. Like, that was, it was bigger than football. So that mm-hmm. was 100%.
The other coach I put on here is Dabo Swinney.
Yeah.
What do you think Dabo's good qualities are?
Man, Dabo's got great energy. His purpose and his calling is bigger than the critics. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. people are telling him what he should be doing and what he's not doing correctly, but he believes in his purpose and his calling, and it's bigger than what people say
on the
outside.
He's a man of conviction.
Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, his team meetings are preaching sessions every day. And you're going to lose, as a coach, you're going to lose time, because that is the most important part to his mission. And you're going to get that whether you like it or not. And that's important to him. Raising men, graduating kids, like, those are... The perspective he has is different than a lot of places, and his convictions are strong, which is cool. Like, it's really cool. Like, he is.
Everybody talks about culture.
Yeah.
Like, the culture that he has created at Clemson, the family environment.
Of course, and everybody talks culture.
Of course,
culture.
Our good friend Matt Luke decided to go back to coaching because of Dabo Swinney.
Family Goals podcast, man. Remember, he did it. He was phenomenal. He was our guest. Yeah. Dabo's. But everybody has signs across the country that say the same thing as his, but not everybody lives it. And he lives it on a weekly basis, mm-hmm. a daily basis. And that's cool too. The consistency of leadership is mm-hmm. fun when you see guys that, and again, there's a cost to not going in the transfer portal, and there's a cost to sacrificing meeting time. He's okay with that cost.
Mm-hmm.
He's all right with that. Like, his purpose is bigger than that.
Are there any other coaches that jump out to you that you think they're unique and different and they have strong leadership? I'm sure about every
coach Arn is at North. Coach Arn, he's fantastic. I mean, he's unbelievable. Like, he really does an unbelievable job with, like, your faith is important, and treating people right is important, and serving is important. Like, he's great at it. He really is cool. And his perspective.
Seems like he'd have a tough job because you mentioned like the offensive coordinator at Georgia Tech. His son's the quarterback.
Yeah.
Seems like he has to lead a lot of people who are pretty knowledgeable of the – a lot of the coaches' kids play it.
Oh, yeah. Tons of coaches' kids.
I mean, seems like that'd be a tough situation to be in.
There's a lot in football that is tough to deal with. But I think Tyler does an unbelievable job of – his purpose is bigger than football. And he's going to start with that. And then – we're also going to take football very serious, and we're also going to be super competitive. And he talks about running the race. Like, we're going to run the race to win. Like, he's super competitive, but he's also understanding of, like, everything we have is because of him. And so I think that's cool, too. But he's definitely a good one. I'm with him a lot, and I love the way he – shoot, I'm happy. I'm grateful that he's leading my son. Like, 100% grateful. That's why we're at. We're not going anywhere.
It's good to hear.
Yep. So there you go. Leadership'd up. Everything you needed to know in Pastor Jay's 15 pages of notes. Good to go.
Yeah, I had more, but we'll leave it at that. We're running out of time. But leadership's one of those topics you can talk about forever.
Yeah.
Because I like what Maxwell says, that everything rises and falls on leadership.